It's really about people just getting out there and enjoying the mountains. It's about skiing, it's about snowboarding, it's about touring, it's about snow machining.
March might as well be known as Winter Backcountry Sports Month in Skagway, and regionals starts this week for Panther and Glacier Bears basketball. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The State House has passed a bill sponsored by Haines Republican Bill Thomas, making it easier for military spouses to find work in Alaska. House Bill 28 allows qualified wives or husbands of service members to get temporary professional licenses from the state. The measure is aimed at professionals already licensed in another state or territory. Prime sponsor Bill Thomas told representatives Wednesday that the measure would help military families afford Alaska's high cost of living.
They're very mobile, and this is one way that we can encourage the military to remain in the military and protect us and our families.
Temporary licenses would still require the usual background checks and fees. After 6 months, spouses could apply for an extension or obtain a normal license. Thomas, a Vietnam veteran, co-sponsored the bill with Democratic Representative Bob Herron of Bethel and Republican Representative Eric Fagey of Chickaloon. Both are also veterans. The measure passed the House on a unanimous vote Wednesday. It now goes to the Senate. The latest version of the Sea Alaska Land Selection Bill changes how sacred sites will be chosen. It also limits their size and how they can be used. But the change concerns some tribal leaders. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Most of the 85,000 or so acres Sea Alaska wants to select is forested land for logging, some now and some in the future. Smaller parcels are slated for ecotourism, energy production, or other types of development. Still other areas to be selected are sacred sites to be set aside for traditional, educational, or cultural purposes. Up until recently, legislation authored by U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski gave Sea Alaska about 200 historic village, fish camp, and fort locations and similar historic sites. Murkowski staffer Mackay Campbell says that's changed.
In all earlier versions of the bill, there had been, you know, a long list of sites, and those were identified sites, and they were transferred by the act of this law. This bill does not do that anymore.
Campbell, speaking at a recent town hall meeting in Craig, said the changes allow Sea Alaska up to 3,600 acres of sacred sites. But the Juneau-based Regional Native Corporation will have to apply for ownership, and the process set out under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act will be the same as used by any other eligible entity.
You got to provide documentation to the Secretary of Interior. Ultimately, it's a decision by the Secretary of Interior whether the documentation meets those standards.
The earlier sacred sites list included numerous locations throughout southeast Alaska, many of them on Prince of Wales Island. One, in an arm of Kasan Bay, contains petroglyphs. Another, off El Capitan Passage, is a burial site. Some are not favored for selection by tribal groups.
Judges seen as this is another mechanism, a backdoor approach to get what they're seeking.
Sam Thomas is president of the Craig Community Association, the Prince of Wales City's tribal government. He says Sea Alaska should not be entitled to the sites listed on the map that was part of the earlier version of the legislation.
I feel if you're going to go back to those provisions, we, the four tribes on Prince of Wales Island, would like to see this map used as a non-selection area for those sacred sites.
The acreage was an issue as well as the location. Mike DeVille, who is active in subsistence issues, was troubled by the updated legislation's inclusion of a specific number.
What you're doing with this legislation is you're guaranteeing them 3,600 acres was to be written into law. I would like to see that taken out so the process remains the same. Why change that rule? I don't want to guarantee them anything because those sites are in, some of those are in our tribal area. They belong to the tribe, period.
Murkowski staffer Campbell said the amount is a cap, not a guarantee, and he said it's a limit the legislation did not have before. The sacred site selection process through the Department of the Interior is lengthy. Sea Alaska says it still has uncompleted claims that were made many years ago.
We've agreed to that so that people can be assured that these are truly historic and cultural properties.
The corporation's general counsel, Jaylene Kukesh Arujo, says it has and will continue to meet with tribal groups. She says it will not claim any sites tribes and clans don't want them to have. But she reminded those at the meeting that their options are limited.
The reason why we're even making this effort is because Sea Alaska is the only Native institution with an existing land entitlement right. There is no means under federal law right now for tribes to get land in Alaska.
The updated bill draft requires Sea Alaska to select 90% of the sacred sites within 15 years. Sites will be managed in the same way as surrounding lands, such as wilderness areas, and access will be allowed for fishermen, hikers, and others following a legal purpose. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Skagway's Backcountry Bash and Ball is the second weekend in March and brings together backcountry winter sports enthusiasts from all over the region in an event leading up to the Buckwheat Ski Classic at the end of the month.
The Backcountry Bash and Ball is the 11th, 12th, and 13th. We always do it 2 weeks before the Buckwheat.
John Briner helps organize the annual ski event that isn't just about skiing or any one sport in particular.
The Backcountry Bash and Ball is simply to celebrate backcountry activities in the Yukon, in Southeast Alaska, and Northern BC. And it's really about people just getting out there and enjoying the mountains. It's about skiing, it's about snowboarding, it's about touring, it's about snow machining. It's really just a chance for the winter sports, mountain-orientated winter sports people to get together here in Skagway.
It's also about homemade snow sport videos. Last year's amateur video competition was such a hit, it's back for another year. That includes videos from Haynes, which managed to submit a few entries last year.
He showed up with this handful of DVDs, well, actually, maybe three or four DVDs from people over in Haynes. One was of kite skiing up there. It was all kinds of just fun stuff. But that's going on again this year, and we're trying to get the word out. It basically has to be amateurly shot video. It has to be either Southeast Alaska, Northern BC, or the Yukon, and it has to be about winter activities. So it can be about snow machining, it can be about cross-country skiing, it can be about ice climbing, it can be anything. And the real challenge is, we decided to throw out there, it cannot be more than 5 minutes long.
Videos need to be submitted to Briner by Wednesday the 8th, a date also known as Mardi Gras, but don't get any ideas.
The rules are, certainly has to be PG content.
Skagway Arts Council is judging the lot this year, making decisions on Thursday and debuting the films to the public beginning Friday the 11th at the AB Hall in Skagway.
You know, and sort of a local meet and greet for anyone that's coming over for the Backcountry Bash and Ball or for the film awards. And then we show the videos throughout the week, so throughout the weekend at various places around the town. So it's the video thing is really been kind of fun, along with all the skiing activities and things like that go on with the Backcountry Bash and Ball. Live music in town, there's avalanche seminars, there's skiing, there's camping, there's all kinds of stuff going on. But the video competition is kind of fun.
All events are free, from a transceiver clinic on Saturday midday to a kite demo, followed by a kite race in the afternoon. For more information on the Skagway Backcountry Bash and Ball, call 983-2544.
It's really kind of not really a race. It's not really a tour, just more of a socializing, getting people together. And last year, it was great. We had a good turnout.
There'll also be live music around town to celebrate the Backcountry Bash and Ball, and a new project to bridge any cultural gaps between Canadians and those from the U.S., says Briner.
One of the things that's coming up this year is we've discovered that our friends up in Canada ski the same places we do, but we all have different names for these places. So one of the things that is going to happen, we'll have a big map on the wall, and everybody gets to kind of claim their area and put down their name for it, and it's going to be kind of fun to see. There's places, one group calls the Fraser Chutes, and another group calls the Face, so it's just kind of fun.
It was as if jumbo jets were flying over the Lynn Canal this weekend, with gusts reaching 45 miles per hour just in town. Hikers and home dwellers alike reported winds took on the sound of freight trains, airplanes, and even avalanches from sea level up to 4,000 feet. Smitty Katsik in Klukwan says he hasn't seen snowdrifts at 19 Mile since he was a teenager. The winds have subsided for at least a couple days, but cold weather amps up, with the forecast calling for highs in the single digits to low teens and wind chills 10 to 25 below zero until midweek. Regionals basketball starts this week for the Glacier Bears and Panthers. Haynes players travel to Juneau for games starting Wednesday morning. Skagway is on their way to Ketchikan for games starting Wednesday also. Becky Jensen, athletic director in Skagway, says brackets are still being finalized. But stay tuned to KHNS for full coverage of 2 and 3A regional basketball tournaments throughout the week.
Not at this point. Brackets isn't out. They're still waiting on one more boys game to be played. It does look like our boys are seated fifth, and our girls are number one. So our girls have a bye on the first day. They won't play until Thursday. And our boys will play Wednesday at 3, I believe.
The Panthers boys and girls beat Angoon in their last round of games, and boys won against Cake in their last non-regional games. The girls did not play Cake, since the school does not have a girls' team this year. KHNS will broadcast games from regionals throughout the week and provide scores whenever possible. The teams that'll go on to state will be determined by the weekend. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.